Reincarnation is my topic, and I was actually inclined to speak about it after I proctored the tape review from one of our excellent students in Africa, Andrew B. Eikens, whom, by the way, we will go and visit in 3 weeks, about 3 weeks, and who will be ordained by us. And it will be a joy, an honor, and a pleasure to do that. Well, I haven't seen a lot of Andrew's work as a student, but I am impressed by this awareness this young man has. And while I was reading this tape review, it even brightened my awareness. It gave me to think, and that is always the greatness and the joy when we can proctor our students' work, and how it opens even greater levels of awareness to us as proctors. Well, reincarnation has been something I think we all have played with a lot, and there was a time I was thinking, wow, this is a great game to know that I have been X and Y Y or whatever, and thinking that I was such a great person, and my husband another person, and whatever. These are games, they fascinated me. But I also realized with the time of the game I was playing how it was limiting me. And this is what even Andrew says. The reincarnation aspect, as he had known it before, it was just as fascinating as it was for me. But he came to the awareness that it's only a limitation in awareness where we are standing. If we want to walk our spiritual path, one-pointedly focusing who we are, we are not going into the game in the aspect of who we have been or might have been, because there is really only one time, one space, and that is here and now. So if I'm thinking I was Marie Antoinette, or I was Beethoven or Mozart or all these great people, what does it help me? I know we have students who tell us, oh, I have done rebirthing and all that stuff. And I always ask them, well, what did you learn from it? But at the end, there was no really learning, because it's just a time-consuming action of going into dimension of the past, which is really not the past, because there's only the time now. So if we go into times that we have been Marie Antoinette, we're just losing our time. We're just losing the time of thinking who we really are. And who really are we? We teach and we say we are God. And there is not even enough time to focus my thoughts on I am God. And I have that choice. I have that choice to say, I'll play the game of past dimension or future dimension, or I can say I play totally one-pointedly now, the now, who I am. I was just thinking this morning while I went on my meditation walk, and it was a very special morning. It was first time an autumn atmosphere. It was foggy, and there was no vision. There was nothing to see around me. And while I was sitting on the healing throne, it's one of the highest point of our meditation path, where you can look all around the campus and all around the far valley, there was nothing to be seen. It was all in a veil of fog, in a veil of, everything was just invisible. But you see, this was giving me a thought. Well, so much we think, I cannot touch it. I cannot see what I am really. And so I'm keeping my thoughts on the touchable, on the visible, on the senses, while there is much more. There is, we want to go beyond. We want to go beyond and leave behind reincarnation and leave behind the idea of karma, which is nothing else than cause and effect. And like Andrew says here in his review, the tape gives a recipe in order to avoid reincarnation. If we want to be what we are, and that is God, then to be God means no more becoming aware of ourselves, no more rounds of our existence. Rather, we are to name our reality and be it once for all. Well, so definitely said and so beautifully said, it's really important that I now say, let's stop with playing games. Let's just go one-pointedly in the direction of who we are and know I am my original purity and integrity. I am God. God I am. And there is nothing more to play games of reincarnation and come again in this dimension. We think that the Earth experience, being here on Earth, on planet Earth, that is so much fun. And it is. And it is. But there is more. There is much more to go and to see and to live and to be. Especially to be. So let's leave behind reincarnation and live in the awareness of I am God, God I am, and know that all the power is within me and I live it now. Have fun. No.
Record.
Good morning. I have thought about happiness. What does it mean, happiness? What is happiness for me? How do I create happiness? Like I to be happy. Oh yes, I like to be happy. And how can I be happy? I put the cause into motion saying I am happy. But I must need some purpose. I must need have some experience that makes me happy. Not at all. The contrary. I am happy because I want to be happy. I am happy from within myself. And the moment I say I am happy and also have the attitude about being happy, my mind is at my service. As for everything, for every word I speak, for every thought I think, and immediately transmits this idea of happiness to the whole body in me, to every atom. And everyone says, yes, yes, I am happy, repeats, yes, I am happy, I am happy, and I am happy from within. And this is great. Isn't it easy to be happy? Without needing any outer things, without having any great wishes, just for being who I am, saying I am God, God I am, and feeling this happiness, radiating this happiness. Yes, because not only I, with my words or with my eyes, I express happiness. It is the whole body, every atom, every limb in my body reacts on this and works on it, and everything is happy. This is easy. Like we read in our recent treatment letter, treatment is easy. Yes, it is said treatment is easy. So I say, happiness is easy to achieve. It is easy to be happy. Just being happy and being myself, having fun in what I am doing, putting my nose in my own business and keeping my interest away from things which are going on around me in my world. Oh, my world, I'm talking about my world. Yes, I refer to my world because everything is where I am. Where I am, there is my world. And I am concerned about my world, because my world reflects to me exactly what I think and for what I care for. Yes, it is my world. Everything, I am responsible for how things are going in my world, because they reflect the thoughts I think and for everything I do. And this is great. It's a great revelation. And I like to say, I'm convinced that everybody once tries to say to himself, I am happy, and continues to say it and believe it, experience it. This is easy. Being happy, and so I am happy.
The search for paradise.
VHS, the search for El Dorado, land of gold. But that's just one of the names paradise has. And we all know of the search for paradise, for Shangri-La in the Himalayas and in other parts of the world. And here I'm talking about the search for El Dorado, the land of gold. And the craze for searching for this land, El Dorado, started in the 16th century in 1530 in Europe, when Pizarro went to Peru and plundered the treasures of the Incas. And he got a lot of treasures out of that land. And so expedition conquistadores went for the search of, yeah, that's what they were called, and, well, we could say in English, conquerors. And they went out because they thought there must be somewhere on the plateaus in South America, there must be this promised land of gold, the golden land. The name El Dorado, though, started with a man who, as a Spanish man too, who conquered Quito and founded Ecuador. He heard from an Indian man the story of a king in the Andes who was every evening dusted with gold dust. And then he went out and swam in the lake. And they thought there must be that land where gold is so common, like pebbles on the ground. And you know, the funny thing is, when this expedition started to search for this land of gold, they had to go through many ordeals. They had to find their way through the rainforests, and they started with 400 men and lost at least half of them on the way, because these rainforests, they were so dense, they were like a wall, and they had to cut their way through there, and they were wading in swamps, and they were snakes and all sorts of obstacles, and finally only to find out that that land of gold just doesn't exist. And one funny thing I found when I was reading the story about El Dorado, that at three expeditions started at the same time about, and they didn't know of each other. And they arrived in the plateau of Bogota at the same time. And each one of them had 166 men left from whatever they started out with. It was just a funny coincidence. And naturally they talked to each other, and they said, okay, we'll go back to our countries and to our leaders and tell them that this land doesn't exist. but they should discuss among them how to distribute the territories that we have found now. One of the three, by the way, was a German, and his name was, let me see, I thought I'd written it down. Yeah, Nikolaus Feldmann. And they all went home without the gold. But the land, the king, the El Dorado king, he really existed, because they now have evidence of a kingdom that had lots of gold and that made things out of gold, of plain gold. But to come back to what it means to me, this search, you know, symbolically it reminded me just of our search for that inner land of paradise. We go through these rainforests of physical achievements, and we go through these physical ordeals to arrive at the place of success, to arrive at the place of contentment, and only to find out it cannot be found in the outer. And that's when I have to go beyond this physical search, beyond the physical, to the knowingness that paradise and the land of gold and Shangri-La and whatever name we can give paradise is within myself. And that it is very simply found. I don't have to leave my house, I don't have to leave my room, I don't have to look out of the window, I only look within myself. And there it is in all its glory, this beingness, this absolute beingness where I am all, and the treasure and the abundance and the love and all that I can name is mine. And so it is.